different education things they're doing with the medical staff, and that's a lot of fun. We were able to piggyback this on. I'm glad to see you, but let me explain why. I've got about 30 minutes, they say, and I'm aware that not everybody plays within the lines, but I always think to be a good guest, come on, you have to play in the lines. I was told that tomorrow morning sermon I can go longer because they don't, is that right? Is that what I heard? Okay. And so if you want shorter sermons, it's tonight and tomorrow night. All right, fair enough. But I'm glad to see you because you being here is actually what I want to talk about. The Celtic people say that the spiritual world and the physical world are 3 feet apart. So you're close. But there are times that you enter a thin place. Now, if you follow us online at Fourth Avenue Church down in Franklin, Tennessee, you will have heard a whole series that went about 6 months on thin places. Those moments or those places where the divine and the spiritual tend to touch the mundane and the physical in a very special way. One of those is birth. Yeah, it's rather amazing. There are a certain number of people in a room. Let's say nurse, doctor, woman, husband. And all of a sudden, there are 5 people in the room. 1 moment, 4, 1 minute, 5. And while you might be saying, well, yeah, that's the way that works, I'm aware of biology. That's why they let me work with the med school up here. It is the arrival of a new person is more special than you might think. Bill Cosby, back when he was known as a comedian instead of what he's known for now, wrote a book called Parenthood, where he wondered why we celebrate somebody getting pregnant when raccoons do it every day. Well, I think he was just trying to be funny, and to be fair to him, he was very often funny. But I want to take it to science to you tonight, because science, remember Romans chapter 1, we don't talk about this much. Alexander Campbell said there are 2 books which teach us of God, the Bible and nature. And that is what Romans 1 says, except Romans 1 seems to be leaning on the nature side, because it says everything we can know about God, we can know by looking at what he made. Now that's a rather outrageous, huge, over-encompassing statement, but I didn't make it. So you'll have to take that up with Paul. I think he had a point. Everything is made up of atoms. You know that? There are a plethora of subatomic particles, but we're not going to go there yet, or at all tonight. We only have 30 minutes. So let's just say atoms. Now, whether you, and we're not going to argue about this either, whether you believe that God did everything in 6 days, or whether that's a poem and he did it over billions of years, or regardless of how you look upon it, what we do know from physics is that matter cannot be created or destroyed, and energy cannot be created or destroyed. Most of you, if you had high school science, know this. Do you understand the ramifications of it, however? Every atom that ever was came into existence at the same time. None of them go away. No new ones are formed. Molecules, yeah, I've had people go, but, and they're always talking about molecules. Yeah, molecules, sure, molecules are very, very flirty. They can become anything over time. But atoms, the ones we have are the ones we have. We can split them, yes. What happens then? They go right back to being atoms with other bits and pieces. The number of atoms never changes. Do you understand that for some reason that science cannot figure out yet, all of the atoms that make up you, these trillions and trillions and quadrillions of atoms that make up you, have been around since the beginning. And they were doing other things before they made you. Now that's rather staggering. It was a huge variety of things. They don't have to be living things. It could be rocks, trees, birds. It could be horses do have a backside. It could have been any of these things, whether animal, vegetable, mineral, however you want to divide it up. And they're not doing that now. They're making up you. And that's a rather staggering thing to think about. It flummoxes scientists. We're still thinking about why do all of these atoms all of a sudden cooperate with each other in making you. Now, when I say cooperate, please allow me to use language like that. They're not cooperating because to cooperate, you would have to have a mind. You would have to make decisions. Atoms are mindless particles. Something is directing them. It is not any force that we can figure out there. They are working to make you. And they're making billions and billions of decisions every second throughout your body to keep you going or not, to keep this experiment rallying together to get your works done. And as your need and situation and life changes, so do they. In fact, when you leave here tonight, the number of atoms that make up you will still be making up you, but they will not all be the same. You are trading atoms with the people in the room, which is one of the reasons why when people are, and I truly believe it is a very tiny subparticle of 1% who are truly white supremacists, the Klan-type people. Friends, that's stupid because you're already made up of atoms that make up people of other races. And every time you walk by one in the street, you're trading. That's the way we are. We are a very profligate creature. We share atoms constantly. Atoms are also, I think you're also aware of this, you are mainly space. If you ever drew an atom in science class, you know, there's a little nucleus there, and then there's an S1, S2, and perhaps some of you even did those little completely guess. But it works. You know, it works. If we do the math like that, it works. So who cares if it's real? I'm serious. This is fine. As long as we push this button, we get this out of it, we're going. We're working with it. But we know that we're mainly space. In a room this size, and trust me, I do the math on this all the time. If we were to get all of the space out and just be us and the chairs, all the matter in our hand, it would look like about 3 grains of salt. The rest of everything's space. That's why when it gets really pressed down, we'd have a miniature black hole, by the way, there, so I wouldn't pick it up. But that idea, it compresses and it's just, you may wonder what all this is about, but please remember, an atom is not alive. Forming communities, we call them alive. But something's riding on the back of atoms that we can't find. In fact, we can't find most of the universe. Are you aware of this? That something like 95% of the universe we cannot find. A little bit more than 2/3 of that is dark matter, and the rest of it is dark energy. And we call it that not because it's dark and sinister, but because we can't find it. It's hiding. It's not behind Pluto. We looked. The reason we know it's there is because the effect on other molecules. When the Bible, psalmist says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, the guy didn't have a clue how right he was. The more we know, the more we back up. It's rather like the larger a circle is, the larger the outside of it is. You understand that, right? Which means the more we know, the more we are touching on what we do not know. And the more we're aware of what we do not know. The atoms that make you did that. Most atoms don't do that. Your atoms made you, and they are devoted to you. They are devoted to keeping you alive. They will do absurd things to keep you alive. For example, if a building, you were to look up and a building is falling on you, you will do this and this. Now, this is singularly ineffective in keeping you alive, but you can't not do it because everything in your atoms tries to keep you alive. If you've been by the bed of somebody who's dying, they struggle for those breaths. They struggle. My father wanted to die. He wanted to die for 5 years. He asked me that I would pray that he would die, and I did with him. And yet his body wasn't agreeing, and it fought against his will. He took no medication except pain meds. They would say, you need this, you need, and you go, no, I want to die. It still took all of this time because his body was going, well, you know, he never consulted us. They don't actually say that, but
I hope. You will, a tornado comes through. Now, I live now in the Nashville area, and storms, when they hit in the south, have an extra punch because of the heat energy that builds up during the day. It is not quite like what happens in Oklahoma and Kansas and the like, but every so often, the tornado siren goes off. My daughter is super planned with her boys. They have helmets, they've got snacks, they've got all kinds, they got little bed places, they got a place to go, because you're supposed to go to a closet near the center of your house. My wife says, oh, there's a siren, we should go. I won't go. Closets aren't adequate protection against tornadoes. I don't think anybody believes it. I think we're told that just to make it easier to find the bodies. So I'm not going. And it's the same as when I'm in California and they say during an earthquake, get in the bathtub. No, I'm not going to be reported as found in the bathtub. No, I want these guys to work for their money. Come find me. We fall for everything on commercials. A commercial will say, are you losing your memory? And you think, well, I don't know. And they say, we found a protein in a jellyfish that will help you, because it is well known that jellyfishes are the most brilliant creatures on the planet. And people will spend a lot of money to grab a protein originally found in a jellyfish. People, save your money. It does not work. Eat right, live right, enjoy the ride. Because you've got about 650,000 hours. That's the average. If right now you're starting to panic and do the math, okay. Go ahead. Well, if you start screaming, we'll know you're beyond the 650,000. And that's all right. We'll all look around, put it in our date book. They'll be gone pretty soon. There is no reason for them to quit. Are you aware that we really don't know why bodies quit? We don't know how they start. We don't know how they coalesce. We don't know why they quit. We know how they quit. We are so good at knowing that. I'll be doing a lot of that this week at Ohio State for the medical guys, explaining to them the processes through which nervous systems break down and how they do it and the brain and the why. No, but the how, we got that. We know a lot of hows. We're going to find more hows. We don't know everything. But it's fascinating to realize. I took my grandsons to see my mother. So that's their great-grandmother, all right? And my little Fenruin Greaves, that's that laddie's name, sure it is. He was looking at my mama's hand. Now, my mama doesn't need x-rays because you can just see right through her. Now, my dad had a couple of North Africans in his line because Scottish soldiers for the last 300 years, and they served there, fell in love there, married there. And so I can tan, which it makes me very rare. Among Scots. In fact, I will come in from riding the slingshot somewhere, and Cammie will say, you're getting awfully dark, and I'll say, thank you, Grandma, because those genes have allowed me to do this. Now, most of the time, if a Scottish person marries a Norwegian, their kids are clear. So, you know, that's my mom is an Irish lady, and you can almost see through her hand, and he was just fascinated. But also, one of the reasons you can see so much is her skin is becoming more translucent. And she even showed him something. She pulled it up and it stayed. And he tried to do it on his hand. I said, we're going to now get in a line. I'm going to put you here. I'm going to get in the middle. And then your grandma, we'll get your mama, then me, then your great-grandma. So four. You know, on them, you can almost hear the snap of it going back, right? Each one's slower. And I said, now, he says, why does that work? I said, cells replicate, but for some reason they get tired, and after a certain number of times, they stop. If you have to wear readers, your eyes aren't getting bad. The cells are just going, you know something, we've been at this for a while. There are other things we could be. And then the switch goes, and they go move on to do other things. When my father died, we had him cremated. He wanted his ashes scattered. I did that, and we recycled the plastic thing he came in. Why? Because it's not him. It's in fact, you're really not worth all that much into bits and pieces, frankly. Oh, you want to sell a kidney? Fair enough, but don't. These are the same atoms that make up the universe, the same atoms that make up the earth, and they make up you. And they make up billions of other planets, but as far as we know, this is the only one that has people on it. Now, people have asked me, I think those aliens are coming from other... No. Are there UFOs? Of course there are things in the sky we can't identify. Does that mean they're alien? No. Why? Because distance. Distance, it's serious, people. It's a long way to Tipperary. You are not. They can't get here. They just can't. We're talking light years, and that's if something can go the speed of light, which it can't, because if it goes the speed of light, it becomes light. Trust me, or go study relativity. It's your choice, people. And we can do quantum, and we can do about, well, there are the wormholes and all that other. Yes, those are very wonderful possibilities which we have zero evidence for. We have to live in reality here. And you aren't made up of that much interesting stuff. Carbon, oxygen, calcium, hydrogen, a little sulfur, more in some than others. And there you are. Just a few bucks worth, really, on the open market. And you really can't sell it at a flea market, so I'm not really sure what you would do with it. The only thing interesting about these super common elements is that right now they're making you. Life forms on this planet in amazing ways. You see grass growing up through sidewalks and such. That mandate for life. But you know what this world is really good at? Is killing life. Wiping out life. This will be hard to believe, but it's out there. You can go find it. It is estimated that between 95% and 99% of all species that have ever lived are extinct. They don't bring this up much. So we'll panic. People say, you can't build a building there. There's a snail over there. You know something? Give me a flashlight and a hammer, and I'll be right back. And people say, no, it'll go extinct. Everything does. Everything does. That's what our world does. Our world kills stuff. We watched the last Jurassic Park movie because we hadn't learned from watching the others. So once again, they make dinosaurs and bring them and let them loose on the mainland of America because people, what could possibly go wrong? Well, stunningly, it goes wrong. And so they bring in the military, the big faceless military, and they're shooting at the thing, and it's dying. And the scientist that brought it up, part of the whole project there, starts crying, saying, it's going extinct. It was extinct. You brought it back. People are dead. Bad decision. One needs to really look at your decision tree and see where you went wrong with all of this. You are here, and I want to talk about that for a second. This sounds really stupid and so way obvious, but I don't think people understand this. You're here. That means all of your ancestors survived. There's a direct line between you and the first. Think about that. Way back to the dawn of time, people have died from war, disease, stupidity, accident, starvation, storms, not being in a closet during a tornado, whatever it is. We have died, drowning, falling, thirst. We can keep, we are excellent at dying. Everybody does it once. But all of your ancestors lived at least long enough to have babies. And those babies lived long enough to have babies. Do you understand how rare that is? How stunning that is. People love to do these genealogy tests now. And by the way, they're very good. Ancestry.com has gotten a lot better than it used to be. If you had it done, let's say, 5 or 6 years ago, you need it again. But if you really want to stay in touch with this, 23andMe, and I have zero financial interest in anything like this, but 23andMe not only works on it, but also we'll come back every few months and say, we've learned this, and that's all included. So that's kind of cool. Ancestry.com has started to do that as well because computer died, right? The first time Ancestry.com did mine, and it came, and I opened it up, my wife says, well, that's wrong, because it had 51% Scandinavian. I said, no, the clan gun, and I can use those terms here. I never use the word clan where I live now. The clan gun, which is my father's clan, and the clan Mackay, which is my mom's clan, both came from Norway. One in 800, the other in 880. One in Scotland, northeast of Scotland. One in Dublin, which was a Viking city. I said, DNA is very persistent. Well, now when they send it to me, they correct that. And I think it's because of all the family fights that there have been, saying, well, we thought you're... So they try to bring it down more toward a nation and understanding that most people would have, regardless. All of them lived. Congratulations. That is something to be celebrated. I've had people say, why do we celebrate birthdays? You didn't do anything to have the birthday. Your mom did. You know, fair enough. She worked pretty hard on it. Dad didn't do much. But the fact is, life should be celebrated every day. For the longest time, scientists knew, put quotes around that knew. Absolutely. It was science. Only man has a seed of life within them. And you are all like those little Russian nesting dolls. And that's why, for example, Jesus says, whenever Abraham spoke to his Lord, he was speaking to him because he was in the body of Abraham. Now, was Jesus scientifically illiterate? No, but you speak in the language of the people you want to talk to. You don't sit out there with a cricket and explain quantum physics. You speak to people the way they can understand, and Jesus was very good at that. But women were just incubators. That's all they were. That was their job, to incubate the seed of man. If a woman was barren, it was the woman that was barren. You don't find men barren in the Old Testament or any of the ancient texts, do you? Because it wasn't their fault. They did their job. Don't know what's up with her. This was, nobody understood that women produce an egg, and for a very long time. The Bible actually talks about the seed of woman in Genesis. Nobody knew what that meant. I'm sorry, nobody knew what that meant. It was firmly established only in the 1800s that women produce an egg. And in the 1840s, there was a big scientific convocation. Looking around ages, we can do this. I'm not making these terms up. A big science battle between the ovist and the spermicist. Big fight. You do not want to see scientists fight. They don't know how. It is embarrassing. It's just, you know, it's just, it is sad. It is sad is what it is. But anyway, now we know both sides contributed. Think of that. That egg, woman produces an egg, and I'm going to be very sexist and stereotypical in what I'm saying here. Just like women, organized, ready, calm, set up. Men, we turn it into a race. Way overdo it. Millions are released. They don't actually have music. I perhaps should stress. And only the first one, it's complete waste, because only the first one gets to be a person. I want you to think about that sometime. When you're in a store and you see somebody, that was the fastest one. This could have been worse. Step back and give them a little room. God is very, very interested in our existence. If I had the whole evening, we'd talk about Job chapter, a whole book of Job, actually. But start around chapter 30 and to start walking your way through. He talks about deer and how he counts the day until they give birth, a pregnant deer. And then he watches and he's excited about it. And he talks about the flight of birds. And I don't know anything about horses. I just don't. Even though I lived in Scotland by a farm where they raised the Clydesdales, which are amazing creatures, by the way. And if you go up north of Scotland, they got the Shetland horses, not Shetland ponies. These are real horses, and they're like that tall. It's amazing. I don't know if they're audio taping this or not, but if they are, they're that tall. I think there should be a penalty for not showing up. So we have the big and we have the small, right? But I don't know anything about horses. But in the book of Job, God uses adjectives and adverbs about horses. He doesn't use about anything else. It seems he really enjoys them. He likes them. He, in fact, in the New Testament, Matthew tells us, a sparrow will not fall to earth. Now, here's where the translators didn't know what to do. They didn't like the way it was phrased, so most versions will say, without the Father's will, or without the Father's knowledge. That is not what it says in any ancient text. It says, a sparrow will not fall to earth without the Father. God won't even let a bird die alone. God is interested in life. God is with you in every stage of life. And Jesus warned us that birth was more than just adding another mouth at the table. It is, and in John 9:4, it is a starting gun going off. You have a limited amount of time. This lady was actually here in Ohio. A lady came to see me, wasn't a member of our church, came for counseling on depression. Her husband had left her for a younger woman. Now, she had worked at Kroger as a checkout person to put him through school. And after he got through school, he upgraded, is what he thought. And this is the way it happens a lot. And she felt miserable and ugly and thrown away and alike. And as we're talking, we've covered a lot of territory. One of the things I said to ask her was, is there anything you wanted to do that you've not done? She goes, I really wish I could have finished my degree. And I said, finish it now. And she goes, well, I can't. Now remember, this is before the internet. I came back to America in the late 80s. So this is before the, in fact, I left Ohio in 93. It's been quite a while. It is. I'm hoping the statute of limitations is. Regardless, so there wasn't internet and the like, but I said, there are evening classes and weekend options to get your degree. And she goes, I looked, and if I get my degree that way, it'll take me 6 years. I'll be 45. And I looked at her and I said, How old will you be in 6 years if you don't do it? We don't think about that. Do it now. I go to basketball games. The first basketball game I ever watched from beginning to end was about 2 years ago when my grandson played. I don't watch basketball unless he's playing. But if he's playing, I drive all the way up into Brentwood, wherever he's playing. If the other one's doing soccer, I'll go watch him do things. Yeah. Whatever it is, I'll get there. Why? There'll be a last time. So you do it now. There'll be a last time. Whatever it is that you, when I kiss my wife goodbye, we've been married 40 plus years. I still kiss her like I'm trying to clear the drains. Sorry for the visual. But it serves two purposes. One, I don't know. This may be our last kiss, right? And this is every day. This is not just, you know, on trips and such. But also, if I die and she remarries, I want there to be a standard he fails to attain. I want her to have regret the rest of her life. Birth, because we die, and that because there is a last time, life is precious. Life is valuable. It's what makes it that way. If you couldn't die, if you never aged, there'd be no joy. I know that sounds very strange, and you'll even see people, I see it frequently, you should always get your news from the internet, and it will say, scientists have shown that within 20 years they'll become immortal. No, in 20 years they'll be dead, you'll have forgotten about it, we move on. And you don't want to be immortal, not in this. God has a better idea, but what that is, we don't know because he wouldn't tell us. You're aware of that? It's not an eternal church service in heaven, which for me is really good news, because that would be boring as all get out, frankly. It really would. How many times can you sing just as I am? Well, Jimmy Allen tried to find the answer to that question. And as far as I know, there's churches that are still singing it, waiting for someone to come forward. I was at a church once with a young girl I was very interested in. We were going to go out to see a movie after going to church. They had a gospel meeting, which is where Church of Christ people come together to listen to Church of Christ stuff. He wants somebody to be baptized. I'm all looking around. We're still wrinkled from the last time. You know, we've all been baptized. I was about to go up the third time through God, just as I am, to confess wanting to kill. And if he asked who, I was going to tell him. But somebody else went up. And then he just said, that, you know, someone's come with an unspoken need. And I had the feeling that was one of his family members going, Supper's getting cold. Stop it, you idiot. Well, the reason I gave my wife a little diamond, because that's all I had the money for. I sold everything I had to get it for it when we were married. I've tried to upgrade ever since. No, because she knows what that cost me. The reason I go to the games, the boys, they know what that cost me, and they'll learn more as they get older what that cost you. The reason when I was asked to come here, I didn't go, yes, I'll get here. I can buy a Jaguar if I come up here. No. It's not for the bucks or the fame. It's because there'll be a last time I get to speak here. Last time I was here was actually probably around right after you built it. You had a weekend thing about counseling and depression and suicide, and you had Wayne Kilpatrick, I think it was, came in. And I think you had me for like 15 minutes something, or a side class or something. But that's the only time. It'll be a last time. Life is precious. Let's do this. Let's go. There's another reason why life is precious, and that is it's a gift from God. Our best efforts cannot talk trillions of atoms into cooperating. God enters in and makes the unorganized organized. In fact, I love that. In Genesis 1, God creates the heaven and the earth. What's the next scene? Chaos. Absolute chaos. People have posited, maybe there's a huge gap between 1:1 and 1:2. Maybe this happened. I don't know. What I do know is that that's a surprise. Yeah, everybody's wondering if it's them. It's instrumental music. That's what I'm saying. I'm cool with that, but I'm just bringing it up. I get to leave after tomorrow night, or I might get fired tonight. I'm also fine with that, because there's going to be something good on TV, and I'll be good. God then sends his Spirit over it, and what happens to the chaos? Order. All of the disorganized life. And in Genesis 2 and verse 7, he says, let us, speaking to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And there is one way you are different from every other form of life and every other thing on earth. You are the only thing God made with his hands. Everything else he spoke into existence. Everything. Except you. You, he gathered. Now think about that. You are not made by fiat or declaration. You were purposed. There's no question that a fertilized egg is alive, certainly after implantation, but the rest of that, we have to think, and I'm not going to argue about you, with you, about when does the Spirit enter this tissue? I don't know. You don't either. An Orthodox rabbi say from the quickening, the first time the mama feels the movement. Others will say from the first breath, because breath, you know, he breathed into us and we became a living soul. That phrase is found a lot. I don't know, but what I do know is this. Life is precious. Life is rare. I was stunned yesterday or the day before when Planned Parenthood tweeted, and by the way, this is not political. I don't care where you stand on this issue about immigration. But how can we be a part of something that goes into people's homes and rips people away from their... And I'm going, that's literally what you do. That's abortion. But they don't see that what they do is what they were yelling against when it's done by soldiers on the street. And you can be against both or for both. That is not the issue. The issue is how blind we are to not understand. Life is precious. Life is rare. Nothing else on earth carries within it the breath of God but you. The Ruach, the Spirit of the living God. Nothing else on earth. Go ahead and love on your dogs. I love dogs. I'm a huge dog lover, but my daughter has a dog, but that's not a grand dog. It's a dog. And every time I walk in, it wants to be on my lap because I love dogs and it loves me. And I will get on the floor and I will absolutely do that. But it's a dog. It does not carry within itself the Spirit of God. It's not a person. Only we are. The starting gun goes off at death, but another signal will be given one day and our time is over. And so we celebrate the birth of a child. we champion those with special needs. In Iceland, and a couple of European countries are right on the cusp, but in Iceland, it's already the law that if they do sonograms and the like, and they see that this is a Down syndrome baby, it is aborted, because they want that ended. Which tells me not only are they ineffably cruel, they don't know very many people with Down syndrome, or they are the most delightful people I know. We do a special needs VBS every year. We have special needs people take part of our worship. We have a guy that does the communion devotional, and I can't understand a word he says, but it's still a value for him to stand there. And this is his church, and he's a part of our church. Come on, people. There's some things Mike Cope has said I don't understand either, but I usually get him. I usually get what he's saying. Life is rare, handmade by God. The Bible tells us that there are other odds to beat. Narrow is the path, and few there be that find it. How do we make it to a door of salvation? Like I said, I was going to use a bunch of scriptures tonight, but found out the topic, I must have put it down wrong or something. So I had, but it's all right. I have all my notes. I only have 6 talks. So we're good. I only work for churches that have short-term memory loss. And see, I told you that a while ago, but you didn't remember. John 3, as far as you know. John 3, the story of Nicodemus, I love all of this. He goes, very truly, verse 5, Jesus says, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Now, do you get what he was saying? It is such a mystery, which is why it is so precious. It is why we love and care for our people with Alzheimer's. My father was abusive and hard in many, many ways. And I lost 2 adult sisters to suicide, legalism, and my father. It was just too much for them. They were too scarred. Not really sure how I survived, and I'm not sure I did entirely. I've done the up and down thing. But and he disowned me because I wasn't as legalistic as him. But I'm the one that cared for him. I changed his diapers, loved on him. And people would say, why? And the answer was very simple. I want to say I did my job. And I want to say I did it with love, because no matter what he did or who he was a precious thing. He was alive. He did what he could. I will do what I can. Life is precious. Think of that next time and let the person walk across the street. Slow down. Put a cart away at Kroger. Put away another cart. I've had people bring me their carts assuming I worked there. It's my fault for dressing like a Kroger guy. Don't wear a red polo to Target. I'm going to give you that. Don't do that. But I'll put it away. Pick up litter when you see it. Never walk by a crying person. I could go on, and I really could, but I'm not going to. Life is precious. And that's why we want to walk it with the one who gave it to us. Because he designed us. He breathed us into life. He must have a good idea of how we should be living that life. Thank you. Bring your team on up and sing us out here. There you are.
Oh. Lord God, thank you so much for this evening, and thank you for the words that you spoke through Patrick tonight. And thank you so much for his life there, and for how you inspire him there. We thank you all for our lives we have here.